Chase and Big Joe live on Media Drive, Radio Row, SEC Media Days, and our coverage is presented by Brewhouse South. Experience Nashville's ultimate sports and brew hangout at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Also, locations in Bellevue on Highway 100 and Charlotte Pike in Nashville West. And, of course, today, Monday, kicking things off, part of the festivities, the Vanderbilt Commodores coming off what we all thought was an exciting season last year. And Clark Lee, their fine head coach, has sat down with us. And, Coach, we were just kind of chatting before we went on the air here of how nice it must feel to come in this year knowing that you guys accomplished so much last year, but also knowing that it's not finished yet. You're not where you want to be.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be the goal for any team is to know you're making progress, but know that there's so much more for you out in front. And that's how we feel, you know. I mean, I think the other part of it is it's always going to be challenging. We play in a league that's unforgiving. So, you know, we're going to have to be super focused on the details and in the present and maximize our team. But we like our team and we're fired up. So it's a good place to be right now.
I feel like this is the part of college football, college athletics that we have to go through every year. How many of your guys from last year return this year? We obviously know Diego is one of them.
Yeah, I mean, we return a lot. I mean, I don't have it out right in front of me, but we're top 10 in the country with returning production. That there's a lot to be excited. And I think it would be wrong of me not to mention when you retain right now in the landscape of college football, you're talking about resources, you know. I mean, nothing is free anymore. So this is like the combination of both the maturing of our build, you know, the foundation we laid and how we've been able to pull it forward and double down on it, and then a university that's shaping around our mission too. And I'm very grateful to Chancellor Diermeier and Candace Lee. I think their support in this effort, without them, you know, we wouldn't be where we are. So being able to retain a coaching staff, being able to retain our players, bringing back the production we bring back, there's every reason to believe we should be well positioned. Now we got to go make it happen.
We're here on Radio Row with Vanderbilt head coach Clark Lee. Coach, do we talk about last year or do we not?
No, I'm happy to talk.
Most coaches like, oh, last year's last year. We got to worry about this year and go forward. But how much do you look at what you did last year? Because I know there's a lot of guys returning, a lot of guys have left and all that. But how much do you bounce off of that for this year?
Yeah, a lot. I mean, I think both good and bad. You know, I mean, we talk about it, you know. It's a shared experience. I mean, that's our learning. So for us, it's hey, let's go back to Virginia Tech. Let's think about some of the things that happened in that game where we had a really commanding lead and then we let it slip. Some of that is their counterpunching. Some of that is us learning how to sustain and to win. Let's talk about Georgia State. Let's get back in those moments. Let's relive November where, you know, coming out of the Auburn game, we felt like we had the right energy going into the game and weren't able to sustain performance against South Carolina, against LSU, and against Tennessee. What is it going to take for us to win in November? Those are conversations that pretty much every time I'm in front of the team, some variation of that is being talked about in addition to the things that are right in front of us. So it's shared learning. It's our experience. It's what we need to draw from to improve.
All too often, Vanderbilt comes down here with good players that you've introduced to the media. Now you've got a rock star in Diego. How much fun is it watching him from last year to this year and kind of showing him off today to everybody who now knows his name?
Yeah, I mean, Diego, you go wherever you want to go. Any place that's watching college football, they know about Diego Pavia. And he's earned that. He's earned that recognition. Obviously, I feel like he's been such a transformative presence in our program. But the coolest part to me is that he's an energy source for our university, our Nashville community, and then college football fans everywhere. I mean, you know, to have him representing Vanderbilt, we need this right now, yeah. Right? As we're trying to get this program to a point of sustainability, as we're trying to become a part of the national conversation. To have a dynamic leader on the field like that, who is a great connector and community, that the best part about Diego is, you know, he is such a humble, hardworking, nice guy who, you know, my kids all look up to him and, you know, he gives them a little street cred at school, you know, it's like, it's kind of that's a fun part of this. So, yeah, I mean, I can't say enough about him. I'm appreciative to have him back. I think the game's better to have him back. You know, he's great for our sport, and this is his opportunity to cement a legacy with Vanderbilt football. It'll be memorable, and I know he's excited to do that.
How much carte blanche do you give him to run the offense, like to make his own decision? Not saying his own play calling, but how much do you give to him and say, all right, you're on the field, I'm not, let's go?
Yeah, I mean, I think he and Tim Beck have been together for a while now, and so I think there's a lot of they see the game the same way. Tim, I think it's important to give Tim credit because, you know, I've not seen many people in my entire career that have the ability to call a game quite like Tim calls it.
Yeah.
His courage, his feel, it's impressive. He also, I think when you look at our offensive design, it's a perfect blend of chaos, you know, that we need.
The
number of unbalanced formations we use, the motions, the option, the quarterback runs, all that. And so you have this dynamic system with a really effective play caller, and then what Diego does is brings his experience too. So he has a voice, and he has an opinion, and he has a perspective, and he's courageous enough to speak up when he feels like he's seeing something. And when it all fits together the right way, you know, Tim's leading it, Diego's got a say in it, and there are times on that field where Tim's going to rely on Diego to see what he needs to see to get us into the right call and to run the play. It's worked well to this point, and you hope that every year they're together, it works a little bit better.
Vanderbilt football coach Clark Lee is here with us. Now, how does Jerry Kill fit into all of this? Because I know he came on last year, and he was a big part of Diego and everything and working with Tim Beck. How does he kind of fit in and help you?
Yeah, I appreciate you asking about Jerry because he's such a important part. I think I've been thinking about it. Summertime for me is a chance to reflect a little bit, reflect on some of the things that we accomplished, but also where we're headed. And, you know, Jerry's been such a support to me. So essentially the goal last year was that I was able to focus solely on defense, that Jerry was going to be kind of a head coaching presence with the offense and really be in support of Tim. When I was in meetings with the defensive staff, they were going to be problem solving, and Jerry was going to bring me the problems that they needed my help with. He's been a mentor in the building for me, a guy that, you know, like, as a head coach, man, it can get kind of lonely, you know.
Yeah.
And Jerry knows that. And so he's the one guy on the bad days. He'll come in and check on me and say, how you doing, coach? And he'll share kind of stuff from his experience. And sometimes it's just him saying, hey, we're doing the right things. Hey, we're on the right track. You're doing a good job. You know, that reinforcement can just help with confidence too. But when you look at the play on the field, the toughness of the team, you know, Jerry's fingerprints are on that. And I think in so many ways, what I wanted was this team to reflect my competitive personality. I wanted to recognize the group that I saw on the field. And at various times in my time at Vanderbilt, I've felt that way. In 23, there were more times where I did not. And
right.
that was probably the hardest part of 23 for me, was not that we weren't getting results. I think I could look at, you know, where we were and say, hey, look, it's going to be hard this season. We had a young team. We're replacing a lot of snaps. But when we weren't competing the way we needed to compete, that's when I knew there needed to be a change. Jerry's helped me and helped the program keep a focus on the things that are most important. What's our identity? You know, what's our competitive personality? How are we bringing that to the forefront every day? And, you know, he's become a great friend.
And
go ahead.
Also, Steve Gregory was on your staff last year. Now he kind of takes over as the defensive coordinator. Why was now the right time to maybe, you know, you're still obviously going to be involved,
yeah,
obviously, as a defensive-minded coach, but back off a little bit and let him take over as the defensive play caller?
Yeah, it felt to me, I guess there's two things that for me were, those two jobs are really hard. I think, you know, being an offensive play caller and a head coach is probably a little less challenging than a defensive,
sure,
play caller and head coach. I think the amount of time a defensive coach needs to spend in the plan, because it's reactionary. You've got to build it based off what the opponent does. And so, I, you know, when I was at Notre Dame doing it, I was able to do everything, you know, and I spent 100 hours a week doing that singular job. That was never going to be the case this year. I had to be more collaborative. I had to rely on staff. And with Steve, you know, I've got a trusted partner there. With guys like Nick Lozinski and Larry Black, I mean, I've worked with these guys now for a while. They were with me in South Bend. So we had the ability last year to let the process function without me being in the room. It was really important that they weren't waiting on me to do their job. And so Steve took on a big burden of that, you know, responsibility. And that includes scripting practice. That includes at times in base downs, you know, crafting the base game plan, knowing that I'd be responsible for calling it. I spent a lot of my time on third down, which, you know, to be honest with you, with our numbers, didn't go as well as I would have liked. But it was just so collaborative. By the end of the season, you know, he was taking on play calling responsibilities. And the reason for that was I felt like he was spending more time in the plan than I was. And to be fair to our players, I mean, look, what I want to make sure is that our systems are sound, that the point at which we get to that play call, we've had a process we've gone through. Because the system is in my language and it's what I'm familiar with, it's very easy for me to have input and to have an opinion. I just feel like it's best in service to our players to have someone who's dedicated to that job, and I get a chance to be there and support, and again, to have an opinion, and I'll be with those guys every day. I'll be in front of the defensive unit every day. I'm not giving that up because that's the most fun I've had as a coach. So I don't want more time in front of the donor base. I want more time in front of my team and in front of the players and helping them be successful.
Oh, that's awesome. Vanderbilt football coach Clark Lee is with us here at SEC Media Days. We talked before you came on. Not saying you didn't have any, but you got some cachet now when you walk around here. Because last year was like, there's that Vanderbilt coach. What's going to happen? You beat Alabama. You probably should have beaten Texas. You go to the bowl game. A great season. Does it feel different, coach, being here this year?
It does. I mentioned earlier, I think this event to me, the feelings are the same insofar as, like, you know, the season's coming. And yeah. So I'm going to go back tonight and I'll kind of really, the next 2 weeks are important for me. I've got to get a lot done to make sure that we're positioned, because once you go into fall camp, you're submerged and you come up for air in January, you know. But I'm proud of our program. I'm proud of it. I think I've got this feeling right now where, you know, I'm excited to have something at stake. It feels like we have chips on the table. And that's important. I've missed that. Now, the counter to that is we're not guaranteed anything, you know. So for as challenging as it was a year ago, we had eight games to one possession. You know, I mean, that's thin margins. That won't change. So, you know, how do we develop this team to be prepared to win those margins? How do we make sure we keep our attitude and our focus where it needs to be? We have to be the junkyard dog in the league. I mean, we're the one that everyone's going to count out. I mean, that hasn't changed.
Right.
I don't pay attention to what expectations are externally, just because it doesn't matter to me. But I can imagine that they're not sitting here, you know, picking us to win the league and all that kind of stuff. So we carry a chip on our shoulder. We focus on the work. We know that we're not guaranteed anything, but we're excited about where we position this program, and we're going to go fight for it.
Yeah. What's it? Is everything, the stadium done? Everything good? Are we good to go for that first game? I mean, the brand new stadium is all good?
Yeah, I think I believe the last nail will be nailed in as we're putting the ball on the tee. So they're going to use every second they have. But it looks great. I've been in there. I've been through kind of the spaces. I'm excited to have a locker room in the stadium. I mean, we've never had that ever,
right?
You know, I mean, we've had a little holding tank over there, but to actually have a space, a dedicated space for our team on game day, what a neat thing. You know, the last 2 years, you know, last year we crossed the street and we used the weight room as our kind of meeting space. The year before, we were in the pitching lab, and if you remember, that was where we had the scoreboards hanging on cranes and
yeah
stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, I think we don't focus on those things because it can't affect us. We have to focus on the work, but that was hard. You know, I mean, that was inconvenient.
Yeah.
There were just things about that you don't want to have to deal with. Well, now to have a completed stadium and I think what's going to be a really neat environment. I thought a year ago the environment enhanced just with the north side done. That's energizing to us. And for me, because I'm a maniac, it's like so now we focus on what's next. You know, we got to get going on an operations facility. We have to do the things and invest in areas that will allow this to be sustainable, because that's always been the point.
That's awesome. Another question. Do you have any parts of the Alabama win goalpost in your house or in your office or anywhere around?
I do. I have yes. Not in the house. I've got they gave me a piece of the goalpost, so it's up there. Yeah. I mean, one of my favorite parts about that experience, and again, I want to be clear, like I don't, you know, in the over the course of last season, there are a couple other games to me that felt more important. I don't know how to say, but like, or bigger to me personally, that were just like, man, I'm really proud of the way the team showed up. You talk about the win at Auburn, where I felt like we squeezed everything out of the tube in a really challenging situation, physically, mentally, emotionally, and we found a way to get to six. The bowl win obviously was historic for us. The way we opened the season, I mean, that one could have been straightforward, but man, it had everything against Virginia Tech, you know, the back and forth, the overtime. Alabama was a moment where we were 2-2 as a team, and you know, I expected my team to show up and fight. There are elements to the way we closed that game out that I'm really proud of. And then the celebration afterwards for our community is probably the thing that stands out the most. My favorite thing is talking to Vanderbilt fans and listening to their like spin on it. This is where I was. This is what I was doing. I was in Hawaii with the family. And I, again, this was our vacation. We go as far away as we can.
Yeah.
Sure enough, the place where we're staying, I had a guy approach me who is an alum, 2015, and he and his wife were honeymooning in Hawaii, and they were married on the Saturday of the Alabama game. And so talked about, you know, all being huddled around the TVs. I mean, just to say this, I get to do something that has such an incredible ripple effect for people in their lives. Mm-hmm. And that is so special, and that's not lost on me, but that game in particular is one where I've gotten to learn a lot about, I guess, you know, what makes people a little bit crazy too, you know, but it's been cool.
Well, as we wrap this up, you know, I've told you this before. I grew up a Vanderbilt fan. I've lived this my entire life, and listening to you talk and kind of seeing where things were when you first took the job to where they are now, it does feel like it's just kind of built. It's slowly built up. Do you feel that, and you kind of referenced this earlier, that phrase, "Oh, same old Vandy," is slowly starting to go away, and there is that respect that I think you all have earned?
Yeah, I think it has to be, because I haven't heard it in a long time. Yeah. You know, and I think early on I was so combating that. I was so focused on, and I don't judge that negatively. I think I needed to be. I think in some ways I knew the past, and I was just desperate to break away from it. I had no idea how hard this was going to be.
Sure.
To be honest with you, I mean, I think I knew resources need to change. I knew facilities need to change. I knew attitudes need to change. But I didn't really understand the depth of the damage that losing had done over time to our players and to the people that served the program. And so it's just taken so much time. What I understood though was once we got the attitude internally right, it would then manifest externally.
Right.
If we don't get the attitude right internally, why would anyone else expect us, or why would anyone else not judge us for the same old Vandy or whatever? We have something that's solid now, and I think people respect it. And I don't really care about that, you know, because at the end of the day, all I want is self-respect. I want us to see the value of what we're part of and to invest in every day. We're doing that. That's the only way we continue to move it forward. And I'm actually really proud of, you know, the fact with your question that I'm not spending a lot of energy worried about anymore what those perceptions are. Yeah. It's just like, hey, what do we believe about who we are? How are we manifesting our and actualizing our program every day, our team every day? And That's going to be good enough to win us games. Now we got to go find those margins.
Love it. Before I let you go, you did something in 2021, which I talked to Chase about this. Nobody had done before, at least we had known of. The Barton Simmons hire as your general manager. I'm like, what in the world is this going on?
Yeah, we hated that, by the way.
He was great on the radio. Yeah. We
you
love
took
Barton.
Our recruiting guy, but that's okay.
And now everybody's got that. Was that your idea to bring in like a player
a general manager?
Player personnel guy?
Yeah, so, it's interesting. You would think that I was anticipating this chaos that we've
right.
to. Obviously, I wasn't because it took us a couple years to adjust to it. But, here my thought was, when I looked at the staff, this was my experience as a position coach, as a coordinator. How do you create systems? I mean, we're systems builders as coaches. So systems that function independent of the head coach, that I can actually monitor the system, but I'm not directly involved in every decision. And I thought in particular with respect to personnel, that was really important because coaches come and coaches go. And we're all biased. So as a position coach, you recruit guys. I mean, it can become silly, the bias that's created around, you know, a relationship or whatever. And so I always wanted there to be a check and a balance to the recruiting, the position coach's board, the side of ball board, the decisions we're making. And I needed someone to protect the five-year vision of the program. Well, here we are 5 years into it. Well, that Barton and I obviously have a friendship that goes way back. You know, when I walk the halls of the building, I know that there are some people that, you know, are going to be with us for a time. And I think that's the point. You know, it's like, I want people to come and work at Vanderbilt that then go on to do great things. And I want them all to aspire to more. And some of that more is going to be in our building. Some of it's going to mean they're going to have to leave at some point. You know, Barton's a guy who fights for the long-term vision of the program every day. And we've had to learn in that role, just like I've learned in my role, just like Ben Cawthon's learned in his role. I mean, it's taken us time to really get a grip on exactly what it is that we're looking for and what we're doing. Obviously, as you've added the transactional elements of this, that position becomes really important. It keeps me insulated from negotiations. So I don't get in front of my team embittered. You know, like I want to be able to look at my team and see the goodness in what we're doing, not remember the tough negotiation that happened 30 minutes before, you know?
Right.
And so Barton's taken on a lot of that responsibility. I mean, Earl Bennett's got a part in that. We've worked with Anchor Impact in that too, to this point. But yeah, that was the vision for the role, was someone who was monitoring our, you know, recruiting efforts, our scouting efforts, you know, who we were acquiring, what was the raw data of what we're looking for. Length, speed, how are we making sure we're thorough in our evaluations and not just leaving it to the coach who's going to be biased towards who he likes.
Coach Clark Lee is here with us, SEC Media Days. Coach, thanks so much for doing this. I know you got a lot to do today, but we've enjoyed spending this time with you. Enjoy the day, and we can't wait for just a few weeks, about a month away, I guess, and we'll kick things off. So appreciate it.
Thanks, guys, for letting me be with you.
Clark Lee, Vanderbilt football coach, joining us here at SEC Media Days, presented by Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. We'll have more coming here on 102.5 The Game.